Well, please turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. And we will be considering one verse tonight. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And it says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let us bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, how we rejoice in being in the house of God tonight. We're thankful we could be here because we're here to worship Thee, the only true and living God. And so, Lord, as we consider Thy word tonight, we pray that Thou wilt speak very clearly to us, even with that still small voice, that we might hear Thee clearly, that we might know the direction of God, the will of God, in granting us a fresh view of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Give us a vision, O God. Give us a vision of the work of God. Give us a vision of the future. And may we know that the Lord is here in this place and that to bless us, because we need Thee, Lord. For without Christ, we can do nothing. And we want Christ to be here in our midst. We want Christ directing His church. We want to see Christ's church built up. And Father, Thou hast said that Thou wilt use us in this process. And so, Father, we pray that Thou fill us all with the Holy Spirit and with Thy power, that we would know the direction of God in the fulfilling of Thy will. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Our church here has been established because men in the past have had a vision for Christ and His kingdom. And just look at our history from the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Hopefully you have read this or you've seen it to some degree. And it says there of our beginnings that on St. Patrick's Day, 1951, in the village of Crossgar, County Down, Northern Ireland, men came to Dr. Paisley to start a new church. They desired this because of the actions of the Presbytery of Down. The elders there of the local Presbyterian church were prohibited from using their church hall for a gospel mission. Now, at that time, they could have submitted to the Presbytery's decision, not had a mission, just kind of gone along with the church and kept quiet about the whole thing, but they weren't willing to do that. They wanted to stand up for Christ. They wanted to see the gospel of Christ to go forward and to be preached. And they wanted to see a work done for God there in that place. They were not willing to compromise the gospel for anything. And so rather than to submit to Presbytery, they decided to leave the denomination, the Presbyterian Church, that had no difficulty permitting dances and parties of various kinds in its church halls, but that in this case banned the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so from those beginnings, the free church was born. That's why we're here today. And God bless those few churches. God bless Dr. Paisley and those men who stand with him. And today we've seen the fruit of their labors as the free church is touching every part of the world. As we have churches across Northern Ireland, the continent of Europe, North America, Australia, and missions going in Africa, all around the world. And of course, that is because men had a vision. Men had a vision for the work of God. And as we're sitting here in Toronto, this church also began with a vision, because God called Dr. McClellan to come to this city. And even though men were standing against him and they didn't want to see the free church established in North America, that did not hinder the servant of God. He was faithful. He stood up for the Lord, because he had a vision for Christ in this place, and he knew that God was calling him here. And when their church was meeting in Cosburn Avenue, even though the city destroyed the building, people of God did not give up. They had a vision for this work. They wanted to see it go forward. And so the Lord moved us to another place. And eventually we ended up in Warden Avenue. And the Lord provided a wonderful building for us there, that this church might be nurtured and grow. And the men of God had a vision. But we weren't finished then. We weren't finished there. Because as we can see this wonderful building that we're sitting in today, that's because the men of God of this church had a vision. They wanted to see the work of God to go on. And so the Lord gave us that small school, gave us this property, gave us this building, gave a vision for the high school. And so we've seen the work of God in great measure and the blessing of God upon us in great measure. And we've known much of the Lord moving in our midst because He gave us a vision for this work. Now I ask you a question. What about the year 2006? Is God finished with us? Is God finished with this work? I don't believe so. I believe God has much more for us to do yet. And I believe that we need a vision from God. We need to see Christ in His freshness, with renewed freshness and enthusiasm so that we can see a work done in this community. I believe that God has placed us here for a reason, that we might be a living testimony of Jesus Christ to this place. And we have known the moving of God in the past. And I believe that we will see a moving of God in the future, because when God gives a vision, then things happen and the work of God goes forward. Even if all hell is arrayed against it and stands against us. Because remember in Luke, Christ Himself said that the things which are impossible with men are very possible with God. And Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we are on the winning side, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to go on with God. We need to get a fresh vision of the work of Christ in this place. And so that we will see this work grow, and that we would see a renewed enthusiasm for the things of God. In fact, another man said that no organization will survive without a vision. Apart from vision, individuals will perish. Without vision, our children will perish. Without vision, communities will perish. Without vision, churches will perish. Without vision, societies will perish. Without vision, lost souls will perish. Without vision, the sick and the elderly will perish. Without vision, the incarcerated will perish. And without vision, we as a people will surely perish. And isn't that what our text says tonight? As Solomon declared the very same thing to us, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, this is the text that I would like us to consider tonight and look into. And as we look at this text, I would like to exhort each and every one of us to pray that the Lord would give us a vision for Himself, for Christ and His work here in Toronto and even across Canada and North America. And if I was to give a title to this message, it would be, Lord, give us a vision. Lord, give us a vision. Give us a fresh view of Thyself. Help us to know Thy power and Thy presence in the church. And help us to know and to be able to step out in faith to do great exploits for God. Because was that not what we've been considering from the first of the year? They who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We need to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord moving in our midst so that we will be strong and be able to do exploits for Him. And so tonight as we look at this text, there's three things I'd like to point out. And the first thing is, what is the vision that we need? What is the vision that we need tonight? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now the term vision and law are dealing with the revelation of God. That body of truth, the Word of God, that God has come and revealed Himself to us and to His people by His Word. And thus, God must come. God must reveal Himself to us. And may God give us the eyes to see Him by walking in faith, knowing that the Lord is the one who is over all things. Because if we're going to have a vision, we need to do it in a threefold manner. The first is the ability to see, to be aware of God and know that He can do all things. Is there anything that can hinder the Lord or prevent Him? Is there anyone that can stand against God when the gospel is going forth with power? I mean, we've looked in the past and we've seen our church, even from those beginnings, from 1951. And when God decided to move, there was no heart hard enough that the Lord could not break. And there were souls coming to Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord grant us the ability to see, to be aware of Him and what He can potentially do through us. And the ability to believe that He can do it. believe that we can do great exploits for God, to have the faith and the attitude to go forward in this work, and then the ability to do. Because faith should lead to action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We need to be about the Master's business because it's a great business. It's a great work that we're involved in. We're involved in bringing souls from the brink of destruction and saving them. And that's what we want, isn't it? To save souls for Christ. May the Lord help us to do His work even this year. And so a vision is the ability to see beyond the surface of human potential. It is the desire to see Christ, to uphold Christ, and to live for Christ above all other things. And our vision is directly related then to our relationship with Jesus, who He is in our lives. Because many see Him in the world today and consider Him. They know about Him, but they don't know Him as Savior. Many perhaps have a knowledge of religion of some degree or of some faith that's out there, but they don't know Christ. They don't know who He is. He's not Savior. He's not Lord. But I pray that the Lord would use us to reach them, that the Lord would use each and every one of us for the extension of His kingdom and His service, and that He would give us a vision for the lost. For without seeing Christ, without seeing Him as Lord, without living for Him, because we need to live for Him. If we're not living for Jesus, if we're not about the Master's business, we're not going to have vision. We're not going to have vision. Because vision is a very important factor in the lives of every Christian. For with the natural eye, we can see how to move about without stumbling and falling over every obstacle. We can look ahead and see certain things that we're going to face. I don't know if you're blessed as my wife and I, but we have a job where we have to travel into the city every day. And of course, when you're traveling into the city, you have to contend with the traffic. There's nothing like Monday morning traffic on the 401. And when you're in a rush and you need to be there and all you see is a line of red lights from here to forever. And how many times I've started on my journey and I noticed that a kilometer or two in front of me, I've seen nothing but the taillights of cars. Nice and bright and red. And even sometimes you see the flashing lights too added to it. And so that adds to the blessing. But it isn't hard to understand that I have some choices to make as I'm traveling into work. There's some things that I could do. The first thing I could possibly do, I can either slow down and prepare to be a part of the parking lot and be mixed in with the lights, as it were. Or I can perhaps even keep traveling at the same speed and create my own new parking lot with my own new personal set of flashing lights around me. I could certainly do that. Or I can avoid the 401 parking lot altogether and take a different route. Because we have news. We have news reports that tells us about the traffic. I could listen to the news and say, hey, the 401 isn't good today. I need to go another direction to get myself to work. And so as I listen to the news, I act accordingly. And then direct my path. Well, God, has He not granted to us that we would have a vision? Where there is no vision, the people perish. I mean, we need a vision from God. And He has given us His revelation. The same as the news warns me about the traffic and tells me the way I need to go or a way to avoid. God has given us His revelation, His word, to direct our lives. To show us the way that we should go. That we can avoid the pitfalls and those obstacles, as it were. And overcome them. But what is the vision that we need today? I mean, is it not a spiritual vision? A spiritual vision to not only avoid the pitfalls of life, but to build a stronger and closer relationship with Jesus? Don't we need that? Isn't that our vision? To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? And in order for that to happen, we need to pray. We need to be a praying people, praying that the Lord would move in our hearts and show us Christ afresh once again. We need God to send a vision of Himself, of His power and His sovereignty over this world. We need a vision of Christ and all His glory and what He has done for us, not only in the past and blessing us and leading us as a church and as individuals, but that we'd see Him leading us and directing us in the future, that this ministry will be a fruitful ministry. We need a vision of the lost. Realize that they're going to a Christless eternity and that we need to do what we can, whatever we can, to reach them for Christ. We need a vision for this church to see it grow and develop and to make a greater impact in this area. We need to be praying for these things. Because what does Proverbs say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision of Christ and His work. But notice, secondly, what happens if we do not have a vision. The word perish here is used in the text and infers that apart from vision, the people will come to nothing. The work of God comes to nothing. It means a lack of restraint, to run wild, to destroy oneself when God is removed. Where there is no vision, the people, they perish. And so without a spiritual vision, we will end up crashing and burning. Even as I'm in my car driving to work Monday morning, driving headlong and not even thinking about what's around the corner and just keep on going and smash into those cars, destroying my life. I mean, is that not what people are doing when they remove God from the driver's seat, as it were, and directing themselves? I mean, God needs to be in the driver's seat. He needs to be the one controlling us and directing our lives. But may He give us a spiritual vision so that we will go on with God and know Him and His power. Because what can happen if we do not have a vision? Well, there's several things. We can fall into complacency. That's one area that we can fall into. We can be self-satisfied with what we've achieved in life. We've reached a plateau and, well, this is pretty good and we don't really need to go much farther than this. And there's no real interest in change. We don't really need to go out of our way. And, well, this work doesn't really need to go beyond what it's happened now. God has done what all that He's going to do. And so we can easily fall into laziness and slothfulness. And that can become the rule of the day. There's no effect made or effort made for Christ and His church. And like the church of Laodicea, remember when Christ was speaking to those Christians? That they were lukewarm, neither hot, neither cold. And they thought they were rich and wealthy and had all that they ever needed. But yet Christ condemned them and said they were poor and desolate. May we never be found to be a complacent church. But also carnality. What about carnality? If there's no vision, we can certainly fall into carnality, allowing worldliness into our lives, accepting to live in a society apart from God, just like everyone else in the world there. And if we live according to this generation, remember what I was speaking about last week, the beast can certainly rise up within us. That carnal nature can take over very easily. And he wants to direct our life. But the problem is, he's going to direct us away from God. And we've been commanded in the Word to love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, because they're against God. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Who wants to end up there? Without a vision, we can become very carnally minded, or perhaps even careless. We can become very careless, a lack of careful attention to seeking God and living by His Word. Negligence or failure to take care in our personal lives and our personal walk with God. Negligence in the place of prayer and reading the Word, trusting Him, believing Him, looking to our circumstances and looking to ourselves, becoming very careless in our walk with God. Or maybe even listening to the critics. I mean, there's lots of criticism out there. I mean, I'm sure we all have been criticized to one degree or another. That people have looked down upon us and have thought, boy, this guy, he's not doing his job or not doing what he needs to do. And that you're a nobody. But the wonderful thing about the Scriptures says God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things of this world, the things which are despised, have God chosen to bring to naught the things that are. I mean, God is greater. God is greater than us. But if we are sincere in living for Christ and doing our best for Jesus, I don't care what the critics have to say. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. Christ risen again. It's God that justifies. We're in Christ. And so we're covered by the blood, justified by God. But we'll hear criticism. If you're endeavoring to go on with God, to some degree or another, you're probably going to be criticized. Or even we become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. You know, we've eased ourselves into a lifestyle and, well, there's no need to change. Things are pretty settled. I like the way they are. And it's difficult for me to do anything different. In fact, I don't really want to do anything different. I remember our in-laws, they have a cottage. It's a nice little cottage. But they don't want to change anything in the cottage. They like it the way they are. In fact, my in-laws, their parents have built it. And as they have built it, they do not want to tamper with the past or their memory. And they've grown accustomed to it. They like how everything has been set up there. And they're not willing to change a thing. And all the while, the cottage is falling apart. It's becoming dilapidated. The foundation is getting cracked and worn away. And the walls are starting to show the lack of care and concern. It's falling apart. It's falling into decay. And that's what happens to life, isn't it? If we become complacent, we become carnal, we become careless, well, we become accustomed to a certain way of life. And it's not nice to change those things, even if it means going on with God. Well, may these things not be found in us. Because if these things are very much alive within our lives and our hearts, we're not going to have a vision. We're not going to have a view of Christ the way we should in our lives. And these things kill the Christian life and they kill the church. If Christians allow these things to take hold, well, then we shouldn't expect God to work, because Christ isn't really the most important thing to us. We're focused on the things of the world. We're focused on ourselves. Automobile genius Henry Ford once came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine. We know it today as the V8. Now, the V8 engine has not been around forever. It is a relatively new thing. Ford was eager to get his new idea into production. He had some of his men draw plans and presented them to the engineers. He wanted this V8 engine. He thought it would be a good engine, a powerful engine, and it would bring the automobile along. And as the engineers studied the drawings one by one, they came to the same conclusion. Their visionary boss just didn't know much about the fundamental principles of engineering. He'd have to be told gently, his dream was impossible. When told, Henry Ford said, "Produce it anyway." And they said, "But it's impossible. We can't do this. We can't design such a thing." Well, Ford said, "Go ahead and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time is required." Well, for 6 months, they struggled. And they went through drawing after drawing after drawing, design after design, nothing. They couldn't get it to work. Another 6 months, nothing. And so that at the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and once again they told him that what he wanted was impossible. Give up. It's not going to happen. Well, Ford told them again, "Keep going. Keep going. We're going to make it work." And the thing is, they kept working on it. And the thing is, it obviously happened, because we have the V8 engine today in many, many vehicles. And so they discovered how it was to build the V8 engine. Now, Henry Ford was not a man to sit back and to lazily go about his business. He was motivated. He wanted to see the project succeed. And he was motivated to make things happen and to overcome obstacles. And when you really think about it, what is the motivation for us as Christians, as believers in Christ? Do we not follow the Lord? Is this not His work that we're involved in? Are we not building Christ's church? We're not building the Free Presbyterian Church then, in that sense. We're building Christ's church. For this is a place where we want to see Christ uplifted and glorified. And so why are we here? Why are we here? And who rules in your heart? Is it complacency? Carnality? Carelessness? Have you listened to the critics and they've discouraged you? And, well, who am I to do anything for God? or maybe you've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Don't let these things take over your life. Overcome them by the power of God. Because remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Are we not living for one who is victory today, who rules in all the kingdoms of men, who overcomes all things and sustains all things by the word of His power? Pray that God gives you a vision, a view of Christ and His work. Because remember, what happens if we do not have a vision? People perish. People perish. But notice last and third, what happens if we do have a vision? What happens if we do have a vision? Well, if we have a vision, if we have a vision for Christ, if we see Him and we see His work going forward and we know that He has power and that He can do all things, well, vision will turn lukewarm, lazy, sleeping Christians into red hot living soldiers in the grand cause of changing a generation. Vision gives us stability, guidance, and joy and excitement. The God-given vision will bring glory to God and fits us into His eternal purpose. A true vision from God is not self-seeking, but praises God and brings glory to Jesus Christ. And is that not what we're living for? The glory of our Savior? Because our text says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Consider what individuals have done because they had a vision and that they did not want to see people perish. In the 1700s, a little man in England, a cobbler by trade, who kept a map of the world on a wall in his workshop so that he could pray for the nations of the world, became burdened for a definite missionary outreach. When he shared his burden at a meeting of ministers, he was told by one of them, a senior man of God at that time, "Young man, sit down. When God wants to convert the heathen, He will do it without your help or mine." I mean, can you imagine that kind of advice, that kind of direction by a man of God? But this man did not let the fire of his enthusiasm be dampened by such a response. And eventually, William Carey left the shores of England for those of India, where he engaged in a pioneer missionary work doing exploits for God. One man, a simple cobbler who had a vision for the lost of people in India. Not even when the critics tried to dampen his spirit was he hindered. But he wanted to go forward. He wanted to see the work of God done. And this one man made a huge impact for Christ because he had a vision. He was not discouraged. He had a sight for Christ and nothing was going to stand in his way. And so Carey is a great example of what a single person can do when he has a vision. Notice also from our text, having a vision gives great blessing and happiness. As we read the last part, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I mean, how is it that we want real happiness in our life, real joy, real satisfaction? Is it not keeping the law of God? Is it not following what God has revealed to us in His Word to uphold the truth of the Lord? Or perhaps I could word it another way, that they that seek God's will for their lives and endeavor to fulfill it, just like a William Carey, will know true lasting joy, purpose, and blessing. If we endeavor to follow God's will for our lives, then we will know blessing. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, not everybody's called to be a missionary. Not everybody's called to go around the world and preach the gospel. But has not Christ called you and I to this place, to this vineyard, to labor here? There's a work done to be done here. There's a mission field at our doorstep. I mean, the Malvern area has all the nations. All the nations are represented in this place. And not we to have a vision for them, to see them come through for God. To have a vision is the ability to see the future achievement of God's personal plan for this church and for our lives. We need to see God moving. And God has a personal plan for each and every one of us to give us a vision. Because with God, there's no cookie cutter plans with Him. He doesn't kind of stamp out one plan and put everybody in the same plan. We all have individual plans. We all have individual lives. And we all have individual talents and abilities. And God uses them so that we can be effective in whatever ministry the Lord has called us to. In Jeremiah it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has an expected end for each and every one of us. God knows the beginning to the end, the end from the beginning. Does He not know us? Does He not know our weaknesses? Does He not know when we're struggling and having a hard time? But does that mean that because we're struggling that, well, I'm out of God's purpose and plan for my life, He can't use me and that's it? Absolutely not. God uses each and every one of His children to go forth and be a testimony of Him and His saving grace, because we've been saved by grace. It's not by any good things that we've done. And so vision is the picture of what God wants to accomplish in us and through us. Vision motivates by giving clear direction in keeping God's word, following after the truth of God with all our hearts. And vision specifies our direction, our destination, because what is the ultimate end of each and every one of us? To bring glory to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is always our standard. We must abide by the Word of God. And so I ask you tonight, do you desire a fresh view of Christ and His work? Do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for this church? I pray that each and every one of us will. And that Christ will come and show Himself to us in a very real and practical way. That we will live a practical Christianity. Because Christianity is not just theory. It's not just from a book. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us working His plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. But may we have a vision for Him and His work in this place. And do you desire to go on with Christ as your Savior and your Lord? If you do, then dare to seek Him. Seek Him tonight. Pray that the Lord will move in your heart and that He would show Himself afresh to you once again. And that He would give you a vision like you've never had before. Dare to have a vision to be a part of His work. A part of His plan. Because He has a work and a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. Open your heart to God and let Him use you, because He desires to use each and every one of us. Dare to believe in your God. Have faith in Him. Have faith that God can and will do great things through you. Not through somebody else, not through the minister or some other great person out there in the world, but that He can use you and do great things through you. And dare to act. Be courageous enough to stand, to be able to step out in faith and serve Him. And if you have any doubts, I want you to think about 1951, St. Patrick's Day, in a village in Crossgar. If you ever think that God cannot move, if God cannot revive, He's done it in the past. Can He not do it again? We serve the same God that was operating back then. He's still alive and moving today. We have to have the faith and step out and look to Him to do wonderful things for us. Because what does our verse say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Pray that you get a vision. Pray that we all have a vision. Pray that we have a vision for this work and that we will see great things done for God in this place. Amen.